up, Melanin family? Thank you for coming back to Melanin Speaking Podcast. You know what I was thinking? I wanted us to have like a name for our fans. I can't think of anything. Yeah. I can't think of anything.
Melons.
We're not doing melons. We're not fruits. Is thank you. Melons or what's the other one? Thank you.
Okay, well, cantaloupe is disgusting and what? Shouldn't even be.
Y'all haven't had the right one.
What is the right one of
it's
cantaloupe?
Sweet.
Anyways, what? But I kind of wanted to tell you guys a joke, but I kind of lost it. I lost it. Okay, here's a random one, okay? What did the coffee report to the police?
Donut. Something about a donut.
A mugging. Look at everyone's face. And thank you for tuning in.
Wow.
Oh my goodness. You know, just brighten up your day already. I hope I put a smile on your face. How's everyone's doing?
We're good. I'm good.
Yes. I'm a little full from eating a lot. But that's a good thing, but maybe a good thing for me because I'm not starving.
Well, I am.
What was that? That's a trademark noise.
That was my goofy laugh.
Look forward to that sound in our promotions because it's coming.
Speaking of Goofy, do y'all know what animal Goofy is?
A dog.
A dog.
My
what did you
ASS,
think it was?
Okay. This whole time thought that MF was a cow.
A cow?
Yes.
But he's long.
He has a cow girlfriend at one point.
Cow girlfriend.
Does he? Yeah.
He does. Don't know her name, but somebody said that to me the other day, and I said, what?
Was it one of your kids?
Probably. You know these kids be watching random stuff.
Oh, my God.
Okay, but yeah.
I'm a little disappointed. Like, you were raised around that.
And, you know?
What was Tigger?
A tiger.
Okay.
Are you trying to be funny?
I'm testing you. Just testing.
I almost said a tigger.
I was thinking the same thing in my head.
I don't know. What is he? But okay. Yes. Sorry for everyone who's listening to this.
These awful puns coming across the airwaves. Yeah.
Hopefully the dad joke got to you and me not knowing who Goofy was. I'm also sorry. But besides that, everyone's mental health okay?
Yeah.
I'm not saying it has to be perfect, but you know, decent for today or at least a week.
Today is a good day.
Okay, why?
Because I got up, got myself together, and slapped on some makeup, which I haven't done in a few weeks. So today has been a better day. I think I've been dealing with some in my funk lately, at least for about 3 weeks, almost a month. So, you know, I had a good cry yesterday, but today I woke up better. And that's all I can ask for.
Yay. It's okay. It's okay to cry.
It's also
okay not to wear makeup every day.
I'm really working on the it's okay to cry thing. I don't enjoy crying.
I hate crying. I
really don't like crying in front of people.
Because I'm an ugly crier. I'm an ugly crier. I get the snotty nose.
Right.
You know, my face a whole different face, to be honest.
I'm an ugly crier in the sense of, like, I'm smiling and crying.
You're like an it's awkward crier.
It's fine. Like, tears streaming down my face. Fucking like, nose what's red wrong as hell. With her? Yes, honestly. No, yeah.
It's more of a... I just can't, you know, my voice is no longer there. Okay, you did. You saw me crying when I was in all my period at the time, I thought something randomly sad, and out of nowhere just started crying. We were recording.
We were.
The most innocent thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, you just legit just got so sad. And I was just like, oh, my God.
That's what happens when I'm over. I haven't eaten, and I think of something sad, and my whole body's like, cry. And I do that hard cry.
It's time to release.
Yeah. And so I'm like, and it's worse if I try to hold it. Because it like kind of burns. First of all, it burns in the back of your throat, and then I try to like breathe slowly into my nose, but it's just making it worse. So
I'm a deep breather. Like, I will breathe out my cry and then try to rationalize why it's not a good idea. So I'll tell like, you're fine, Chelsea, get it together, breathe. Like, that's kind of the mantra I repeat to myself as I'm breathing, and I'm like, okay, you got this. You're fine. Mm-hmm. It's fine. You're fine. You're fine.
Well, you're really not.
No.
Which I feel not. Like saying you're fine when you're crying, I feel like we need to be like, but okay, I promise but you're you, not fine.
I promise you I won't be crying until I, at bare minimum, like I'm the definition of, oh, she gonna cry in the car. Yes, I am. I'm gonna cry on my way home in my car, in my solitude. If you're driving by, ignore me. Because I am in full tears.
I'm the type of person, like, if I'm crying and I'm already upset and you ask me, are you okay?
I'm a slap. That triggers it, to be honest. I'm a slap
you. Get away from me. Just leave me alone.
Can I just say how many times I've pat myself on the back before I start to cry because I'm already in that moment. Mm-hmm. But then someone comes up to you because they see your eyes getting, you know, covered in whatever. And they're like, are you okay? And then you're like, no. It just starts
pouring right there. And I can deal with words. I can deal with words, but do not touch me. Do not. The hugs. The baby, it's going to be.
It makes me. All about that.
I know when I'm comfortable and when I'm okay.
So not when you're crying.
But when I'm in like tears, don't touch me because it's going to make it worse. Because I'm going to go from, like, just tears streaming, and it's like, okay, I'm surviving, I'm doing this. And then a hug comes in, and I'm like, and I'm, like, hunched over body. Like, it's gross, which is why I do it in the privacy of my home and or car. Yeah.
Agreed.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I don't think I've ever gotten that intense.
Oh, babe. I've gotten to the point where I've cried so hard that it's, like, I'm dry heaving, and it's like, okay, I don't want to, like, upchat. Like, I'm trying to, and I have to calm myself down. Like, when I cry aggressively.
It's aggressive.
Nobody wants to see that. Nope. Nobody needs to be subjected to that.
Nobody needs to feel that awkwardness of, like, that awkward, do I go comfort her or do I just look away and like, pretend that it's not happening?
I will be the friend in the room for you. Like, I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. But, like. You know, just be there. If you have to be there, just be there. Don't touch me. Mm-hmm. We don't have to talk about it. Being around people helps. But like, I'm going to lose it.
I think not being able to cry in public was a thing because growing up, I was always told, stop crying. Why are you crying? Bitch. Why? Honestly, cry baby, yada, yada, yada. And I'm just like, which... I mean, granted, if someone out, like a stranger, would have said that, it wouldn't affect me. Like, fuck you kind of thing. But my family members, it's like, why are you crying? I don't know, but like, it hurts more. Mm-hmm. And so it's always been like a thing of like, oh, Renisha's the crier. Or whenever we have like a family meeting and it gets like maybe intense or yada or sad. And they're like, well, let me not say this because you might cry. And then I'm like, well, I wasn't. But now that you got me more emotional, like I have like more, like I'm angry. I'm also like feeling hurt. I'm also like feeling all kinds of things where I'm like, I can't keep it in anymore. But then it's also of like, don't take my tears for, you know, weakness. Because I'll still fight you crying. I'll still fight a hoe crying. I could see crying. That for you. No, I will.
Yeah.
I think... So, let me see. I've been in, I want to say two fights. I'm not going to count the last one. In my whole entire life. One was in elementary.
Oh. And were you crying? Were you crying during that?
At the moment, I don't think I was. I think at the time, I was so mad. It was a dumb fight, let me tell you. Mm-hmm. We were playing baseball in the gym. Mm-hmm. And some taller girl, I won't say big girl because that's, you know, I'm a big girl, but some taller girl stole my base. She was kind of being a bully and, you know, kind of pushed me out. And I was like, hey, that's my base, you know, yada, yada, yada. She was like, no. And I just blacked out. Next thing I know, I had her in the chokehold, hitting her head. And then I started crying because I got in trouble. Well, yeah. I knew that trigger. I was going to go home. And because at the time, parents were together, and I was like, either mom or dad are going to, you know, find that out. And it's the moment of, like, they waiting for you at the door with the belt. And you're like,
oh, God.
Should I just stay in the woods or should I just, like, sleep at school because I don't want to go to home? But, yes. And then I can't really remember the other fight. It was probably something stupid. But I cry when I am angry. Mm. But that don't think just because I got a blurry eye, I can't see you when I swing you. Period.
Damn.
Something's getting knocked out, all right?
So always keep a Renisha with you.
I feel like I've been better at, like, just letting things go.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Now it's my middle sister, if you know who my middle sister is.
Knock if you buck.
Baby. I guess that's what the army would do to you, you know? You know? But she's going to therapy, which I'm really happy for, because I know the army can be really mentally stressful. Mm-hmm. But just the people around her just be testing her, she says, every day. My sister calls me almost every day, FaceTiming me about what her sergeant did this or what letters did this, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, sometimes I know you can't really go anywhere because you live on base. but just let it go. And she's like, I went to therapy. I said, yeah. Oh. Thank you. Good for you.
Good first steps.
Which I'm super, super proud of her about, because, like, I always worry about her. She's, like, so far away. Mm-hmm. And then I have a little sister who's just living her best baby life. Mm-hmm. That's what happens when you're the baby. You just get whatever you want, yeah. You know? If you're listening to this, you know who you are.
See, I took crying, or to not cry, mm-hmm. It's because I really didn't see people, whether it be men or women, like, my family didn't cry a lot in mm-hmm. general. Mm-hmm. So, like, I literally can remember the amount of times I saw my mother cry, and I can count them on one hand, outside of them being like a funeral, you know, mm-hmm. like, shed a tear or two at a funeral, but, like, there's no crying going on in everyday life.
She and that seems to handle things super well.
Yeah, and that's with anybody in my family. Like, I can't really remember a time where my grandmother cried, or uncles cried, or aunts cried. Like, we just didn't cry. Mm-hmm. And so I equated crying to weakness in a lot of ways, because when I did see them cry, they were kind of at their most vulnerable, their weakest points. And it wasn't normal to cry. In our house, we were happy people. We were smiling and chilling, or you take the punch and you just keep rolling with it. Like, that's mm-hmm. how we did things, mm-hmm. my entire family. And so I'm getting to the point where it's like, you deserve a cry today, because it's rough. Mm-hmm. It's not perfect. Like, it's okay to cry. And that's why I don't do it around people, because I've never seen it being done around people and it not be like a drastic kind of earth-shattering situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, don't be a bitch. Stop crying for nothing.
Yeah.
Even though it was never said.
But that's what implied.
That's what right. That was the implication, because I never saw people cry. It was just mm-hmm. not done.
Yeah. I think it's a generational difference too, because now we're taught, like, oh, crying's therapeutic. You're supposed to cry. If you don't cry, something's wrong. Yeah. Like, so it's like the opposite of kind of what we grew up with, mm-hmm. I think, depending on, like, I guess who we grew up with. But it was the same in my family. Like, I think the only time I've ever seen anybody in my family cry, it was crying out of rage. Mm. That was it. Mm. That was it. So, like, that, and then also, like, the term, you ain't no punk bitch, stop crying. Literally, that's the epitome of my family. And now that's changing, because now we're like, oh yeah, that's toxic, so we should stop saying that. We should stop doing that. Mm. But I'm still the same way, pretty much. To me, I'm like, it's not, I know crying isn't a weakness, but to me, it's a control thing. Like, mm-hmm. I have to control every piece of emotion that I have,
mm-hmm.
because to me, I can't lose control. Because it's like, I guess I'm used to being the one that's in the middle ground, the, like, mellow.
Yeah.
And so to me, that means that I can't strain from, like,
mm-hmm.
emotion up or emotion down, mm-hmm. right? So I have to keep it here. And I'm working through that. I'm going to therapy. My therapist told me, like, no, that's not good. And I said, okay, well, I'm here. So we're working on it. Yeah. But, yeah.
But just attributing that to strength and, like, mm-hmm. you know, like, I remember the first real time, and I cherish this moment in a very weird way. My sister was going through a lot. She was dealing with a lot. And we were on vacation, and her thing was, she knows she needed to cry, and she knows she needed support, mm-hmm. mm-hmm. but she didn't want people to see it. Mm-hmm. You know? And we turned out the lights, sat on the bed. She cried. I was just in the room. Mm-hmm. And that's just what she needed in that moment. And that's like one of the most vulnerable kind of like together, mm-hmm. you know, like I'm here for you, even though, you know, I'm at a distance, but I'm here for you. And that to me is the epitome of like how my family operates when it comes to mm-hmm. those emotions. Like the rest of the world doesn't get to see that. Mm-hmm. This is kind of take a moment, take a beat. If you cry, cool, I guess. But I'm here for you when you, that's you know, good. Get all that that's together. I'm still here.
That's so and relatively I'm, healthy.
Yeah. And I'm curious if that's, if this kind of mentality is more prevalent within the minority community mm. than it is within necessarily a white community. Because mm. I feel like from personal experience, I'm more likely to see a white woman cry than I am to ever see a Black, Hispanic, even Asian woman cry.
A lot of times it's because they say we don't have time to cry.
Right.
A lot of times, and I may not quote her directly, but my mom has said, like, we're working way too hard. Like, there's no time to cry. We have this, this, and that to do. Mm-hmm. And I agree with her to a point. Mm-hmm. Like, I could still get to where I want to be in life. Mm-hmm. But if I need to cry or if I need to, like, pause, whatever, I feel like I can do that without looking weak. Mm-hmm. And I think for, I want to say the Black community, we just are not, I think we're getting better at letting everybody cry, mm-hmm. you know, still, but I feel like the generation, my mom's generation, and maybe some of ours, I don't know, mm-hmm. Are like, nah, I'm not going to cry, I'm not going to look like, mm-hmm. like you said, no mm-hmm. punk or no bitch or whatever. So, yes to the Black community mm-hmm. for sure, because mm-hmm. especially with little boys,
yeah,
you know,
they're not allowed to cry, right. not like mm-hmm. that. And even we, now, like, I think there are some people in our generation who are trying to change that, but in large, it is still expected that Black boys do not cry.
And like yeah. we said, mm-hmm. it's just, I feel like not crying, you're holding in a lot of mm-hmm. emotion, which is not going to be good when you let that mm-mm. crap out. You either are gonna take it to an extreme or to where you're hurt, you're gonna hurt somebody,
right?
And I feel that strongly. Yeah. So letting little young boys and girls cry,
yeah,
let them, and they're kids.
Emotional intelligence needs to start at that age, instead of saying you're a man, be a man and repress
they're
it
not
for the
a
rest
man.
Of your life,
right? They're yeah. children, they're not a man. Because yeah. if they're a man, then they can fend for themselves. They can, you know, mm-hmm. be the independent individuals that they are. But no, you still have them in your house. You're still changing his or her diaper, or you're still teaching that person the wrongs of right, how to treat a woman or how to treat a man. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I feel to your question, yes, in the Black community, we are terrible.
Yeah, I think okay. it's the same in the Latin. Sorry, guys. I think it's the same in the Latin community because we teach our boys, like, there's machismo. Like, you mm-hmm. have to be a man. You mm-hmm. have to support your family. You have to step in if anybody else messes up. You have to figure out a way to do it. Mm-hmm. You can't show no emotion. And it's almost like instead of crying, it's okay for you to beat your wife behind closed doors. Ooh. Instead of crying, it's okay for you to go do gang shit and let out the aggression that way. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's kind of almost like accepted into yes. that. And I think now we're seeing that change a little bit just because of generational difference. But yeah, it's that same thing. And I think it kind of goes across a lot of minority cultures.
Mm-hmm. I also look at it like this, not just so much the, you know, having the permission to cry, but I look at it as my tears don't move nothing. Mm. You know, I can't fall out in the middle of a store and people come to my aid and, oh my God, ma'am, are you okay? You know, and the whole world stops and shifts because I'm in tears. Like, because
you're being a Karen.
You're right, whatever it might be. I mean, but historically mm-hmm. and even currently, their tears hold currency in a way yeah. that ours just don't. Mm-hmm. And so I guess
Do you see a shift in that lately, though, with the Black Lives Matter movement? I mean, I know it's been going on since, like, what, 2000?
I still don't see, even within the Black Lives Matter movement, and, like, I don't see a lot. I see a lot of Black women participate. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of Black women show up at rallies. I see them organizing. I see them getting the word out. I see them carrying that weight on their shoulders. Mm-hmm. I see that. But if it is a Black woman in the hot seat, with the exception of Breonna Taylor and maybe Sandra Bland, mm-hmm. I do not see the Black community or Black Lives Matter as a whole show up for Black women in the way that they show up for Black men. Mm-hmm. I personally got a little gripe about that because, and don't get me wrong, I'm fully aware how the statistics look when it comes to Black men, mm-hmm. Whether it be being put in prison, whether it be actually being killed out on the street. Mm-hmm. But what I feel is ignored in a lot of ways is that a lot of times Black women are lockstep with you too. Mm-hmm. Like, we might not be number one, but we're coming in at number two. Like, mm-hmm. you know, even though, yes, on one hand, you know, Black women are the most educated and they're, you know, opening businesses and we're doing all these amazing things. But on the flip side, we're also highly incarcerated. Mm-hmm. We're also, you know, getting ridiculous sentences. We're, you know, we're in lockstep with a lot of the Black men when it comes to those negative statistics, when it comes to prison and being killed and things of that nature. But we tend to ignore it. And so I still don't think that a Black woman crying moves society in a way that a white woman does. And I don't know if we'll really ever get to that point.
I don't think we'll get there. Not in our lifetimes.
No, not, definitely not in our lifetimes. So I don't think, I think we have a lot of focus when, even when we talk about Black Lives Matter or like the Black community, a lot of times, and this is with any community, I feel like, but the default is male. Mm-hmm. And so, no, we don't value Black women's tears or Hispanic women's tears in the way that we're, I think, ever going to value a white woman's tears. I just, mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, if you look historically, we didn't get anything until a white woman said something about it. Even, like, within the last 100 years, the right to vote, if white women didn't step up and show out, Black women would still been doing the same shit they were doing prior to that.
Like, I mean, it just is what it is. Yeah. I mean, even within the Black Lives Matter movement, there was a good amount of traction, and I don't want to take away anything that those women did because mm-hmm. they did amazing, especially with what they were working with. But the 2020, it went insane, and it hit another level that they hadn't been able to reach before. Mm-hmm. But also, why is that? Because white people started paying attention. Mm-hmm. The world don't recognize nothing until a white person, whether that be male or female, preferably male, because they do hold the most statistically social currency. Mm-hmm. But don't nothing get done until there's some white person that goes, I think there's a problem here. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, we've been saying that for 50 plus, 60, 70, 80 years.
I think also, like, not just that, but I think what contributed to it is that everybody was home. Everybody mm-hmm. had the time. Minorities that would be working during these protests Absolutely. Now had the time to show up. Absolutely. Not time to be there. And then everything was always being covered. Like, mm-hmm. everybody was at home watching everything. So I think had the pandemic not happened, I don't think those protests would have been as big as they were, to be
I agree.
Honest.
And I also don't think that if it wasn't as blatant. Yeah. You know what I mean? Well, like, there were certain, I feel like, I mean, people are always going to find a small excuse to be like, that's why they deserve to be killed. Like, oh, yeah. There's always going to be that hot take. But I think it was just so, just mind-boggling of how a person, color be damned, you know, sexuality be damned, like, whatever, a person kneels on another person for that amount of time and looks so just
whatever,
cavalier, just whatever.
I feel like we've seen so many of those types of videos, though, whether it be by a citizen or a policeman. I feel like,
but has it been that long that they're sitting there? Because
I've I think within the incident itself, and everybody saying like, oh, because at first it was 8 minutes, right?
Yeah,
minutes and 60 seconds. But then when they had the trial, it was damn near 9-10 minutes.
Yeah,
and so I think there's a shock factor in it. But then Ahmaud Arbery was getting hunted in the street, caught on camera. You know what I'm saying? That's so I'm like, true. We see this kind of aggression constantly. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because of when everything shut down, people found it everywhere. I mean, it went viral. You couldn't look away. No matter if you were in the U.S. or not, you saw that video.
Yeah, and I also think 2020 in general gave people time to sort out how they felt about that. Mm-hmm.
They had to sit with it.
They had, yeah.
And it was constantly there.
And things change when you got to sit with stuff. Mm-hmm. Whether that be your emotion. Yeah, like emotions, violence. When you sit with something, you have to, either you're going to be stuck in that moment or you have to work it. So work through it.
I like that you said that because that kind of transitions perfectly into what this episode's about. When you sit with something, you have to work with it. Or you, what did you say? I forgot
already. I said either you're stuck with it or you can work through it.
There we go. And today's episode is about self-acceptance, right? Like, it's okay. And so I think that kind of thing, previously with 2020, how do you guys think that kind of played into you today? Like, did you have growth within the pandemic? Did it give you that time to adjust and sit with yourself? Was a work in progress for years, and now how do you guys feel about that?
This year definitely was, or during quarantine, was definitely a self-reflection. I was have a whole journal of like notes of things I want to work on, things I want to see, things I want to do, and it helped me with self-acceptance because this is what we're talking about today, because it allowed me to take everyone else's perspective out of it and just really sit with my own, because I have an issue with doing that, you know, valuing other people's opinion over mine. So sitting with your own opinion and your own emotions and your own ideals, and then going out in the world and being like, okay, this is me, and because I have written this down, you know, I've thought this through, I felt this is what sits right with me, and then I walk into the world knowing me. So that's definitely what quarantine did for me. What about you guys?
So, well, I want to ask, do you think it was a choice that you had to make? Like, you were, like, sitting down. It's kind of a general question, but if you're sitting down, you're like, I like these characteristics about myself or in general about in a person, and you have to make that choice, like, I want to be that person. Do you think that starts, or do you think that kind of just... I don't know if that makes sense.
Ask me that question one more time. Was it a conscious choice for me to sit down with that? Absolutely. Absolutely. I am very into astrology, and I was looking at the planetary alignments for that year, and I was like, some real big shit's about to come up. I don't know what it is, but I'm about to get ready for it. And
global warming.
Yes, please, guys, recycle. But yeah, some big shit was going to happen, and I felt it coming, and I was like, I want this to be the year where I'm as grounded as possible so I can get the most out of it. So that's why I was consciously aware of my growth. I don't know how other people, I guess it was just like, I guess I gotta fucking work on my shit. And I guess it's how other people dealt with it. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ro?
Are you asking like self-acceptance of like my characteristics or self-acceptance of like into the world or society?
I mean, I think it plays into both, right?
If that's the question, then I don't feel like I'm accepted in society.
Do you accept yourself in your position?
If I accept the stuff in the position that I'm in, position that I'm in had no choice of mine, I feel like. But I self-accept who I am and what I want to do in life. But do I feel accepted
by society?
By society, by America, by others? No, not at all. Just I feel like I'm tolerated. More anything, but no, I don't.
So what is it that you don't think America or society accepts?
Well, I mean, you guys just said it previously with all the Sandra, George, everyone who's been blatantly put on TV for display, basically. Like, we won't get our names out there unless we're doing something for America in their eyes. So, like, unless I'm Simone Biles, you know, or... I'm getting all these medals, or unless I'm getting shot by a cop, or you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like for me, America's like, you're here to pay for new roads, new schools, maybe. Mm-hmm. I got to pay a lot of taxes for this, this, and this. Mm-hmm. I'm here to give them money. I'm here to work for whomever. Mm-hmm. Whereas I feel like I accepted the fact that I know who I am and where I want to be. Mm-hmm. And I accepted the fact that whether I may have to do that by myself or with a few people who I can trust, mm-hmm. that's where I am with self-acceptance.
So I want to ask, like, what is it that you think society needs to change in order for you to feel accepted? Specifically in America, because you can't change the world. Well, I guess you could. You can. But I want to tone it down to specifically, like, as an American citizen. What is it? Because I think that's the question everybody's asking.
I mean, just the monarchy, really. Just, like, don't think someone has to be higher than the other.
Okay.
If that makes sense. Because we all want to be equal, but we all also want to be the number one. Mm-hmm. So whether like you say it, way equity? You say it, or think it, or you may not think you do. Mm-hmm. So I feel like, I don't know, saying I want equal rights.
What does that look like?
What does that look like? Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because I've had a, let me think. I've had a conversation with my sister about having the equal rights, mm-hmm. especially in the army, for in the sense, mm-hmm. whereas women wants to be treated the way men treat it, mm-hmm. but then let's think about
how men are treated.
Not even how men are treated. Okay. The process of what they really want to do, if that makes sense. Like, I can't exactly pinpoint. What I'm really trying to say is, like, my sister doesn't want to be out there in the field getting beat up, punched in the boobs, stuff like that, mm-hmm. where it's, like, there's people out there who wants to go fist first for America. I don't know. I kind of lost my train of thought. But really just, like, knowing what equal – I don't even want equal rights, to be honest. I want better rights.
I want America to accept that racism is a thing, mm-hmm. and look at our society from that viewpoint. Racism exists. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now let's fix everything that has upheld the fact that it's not.
I believe what you're talking about is critical race theory, and they are freaking out about that thought process.
I mean, I don't even think it's just teaching about critical race theory. I mean, it sounds like we just need to rebuild the system because the system wasn't built for us to begin with. So how can we fix it to work for us? If it's not meant to do that.
I feel like there shouldn't be labels. I feel like we had this conversation about just labels, mm-hmm. and what we were taught. I feel like there should be no category.
Well, I mean, so like there's a good and bad to the category. The bad is, yes, you put people into these boxes, right? But governmental wise, in the way of a government, the way they do that is to help, supposedly try to help disproportionate communities, right? So like, if you mark that you're black, then you know the government will give you extra opportunities or extra money for this, right? That's what, in terms of what they were supposed to do. With
that's
the
theory behind
it. That's the theory behind it. Does it work in practice? We obviously all know it doesn't. But then that's the white people's argument. The poor white people are like, oh, well, why are these black people getting XYZ? And then I'm not, right? So then they're that small minority that argues that same thing. Anyway, we can go in circles with this. But as humans, we like to characterize things because when it comes to monetizing things or making money or giving resources, who do you want to allocate that to? I mean, you can bring in the argument of reparations.
I mean, to categorize in your mind is to be human.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. But that is literally how our brains were set up. Mm-hmm. From years and years of survival, mm-hmm. I have to readily identify what's a threat, what's not a threat, and therefore those things get categorized in my brain. So
begins fine. Racism.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, right. Begins racism, but you know, I am a black woman. That is what I am. That is what people are going to view me as, and mm-hmm. that's fine. That's my category. I just want to be treated like a person. Mm-hmm. I would like to not be invisible and walked over and talked over, mm-hmm. that would be nice. We can start there and then we can get into the super complex things next. Mm-hmm. But like, there's just such a large population in this country who only thinks about self. Mm-hmm. And I think as a person who tries my best to think collectively and what is good for the greater good and what is good for the group, mm-hmm. even if I have to swallow some ish I don't like, mm-hmm. if it makes the group better and stronger, then this time I'll swallow it. I'm not going to do it every time, but this time I will if it's for the betterment of the group.
But isn't that relative to the person deciding what is better, what is not for the whole group?
And that's very true too. And that's why we have these political parties and amongst other amongst other things to divide us. Mm-hmm. But I do think that if we can get to the basics of treating a person like a person, I don't have to agree with your ideas. I don't have to like you, but I'm going to treat you with some form of decorum, some form of respect. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to, you know, get in your face and yell like a wow banshee because I don't agree with you. Mm-hmm. Have some class. Mm-hmm. Have some civility. Like, I think that is what 2020 really taught me, just mm-hmm. analyzing, because I'm obsessed with society. I'm obsessed. I love watching how it moves, like the different things that people like pop into your brains. It's like, oh sis, what made you think that? Mm-hmm. Like, that,
how did we get there?
Right, like that fascinates me. So I love seeing how society interacts with, you know, other people within itself. Mm-hmm. And what I saw during 2020 and even currently, like COVID ain't over. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a whole Delta variant out here and mm-hmm. it is taking people out. And it's like nothing was learned. Mm-hmm. Everything was scrapped. Mm-hmm. And we're back at this. But I don't wanna.
Yeah. The American way.
And it's like,
my liberties, my freedoms.
At what point do the eyes get put on pause and you go, okay, so the greater good needs this to be a thing? Or, you know, the greater good is me respecting somebody. You know, just basics. We don't have to be friends. We don't have to hang out.
You say respecting, but like the word respect means differently to each person, though.
So okay, so the class, basic, so does... the basic. So I'm talking literally basics. Like when we walk into the room together, if I speak, hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing? Keep pushing. Like acknowledging one another's presence is not the worst thing in the world. Like, that's what I mean. Like, just humanity basics, the things that they teach you in kindergarten. Don't hit nobody. Don't keep your hands to yourself, your items to yourself. Don't overtalk people. Like, be respectful. If someone's talking, we close our mouths. The stuff that you learn in preschool, activate that in your everyday life. And a lot of people don't. A lot of people are 3-year-olds snatching things out of other people's hands like, mine. No. Hey. Like, go back to pre-K, visit your kids, absorb some of the preschool teachings, because if we can get back to preschool level, you know, regular basics, not nothing fancy, I think we could at least begin to look at each other as humans and the categories wouldn't be so blaring. Does that make sense?
It does. And I... In a perfect world.
I mean, yes. Butcher it to shreds. That's fine. That's my optimism.
No. In a perfect world, I think that would work. But as we grow up and as we move through our education system and we're entered into even like fucking really high school, right?
Yeah.
Because when you start to develop those kind of adult aspects of how you're going to behave further on, mm-hmm. if not already younger, I think at some point we miss that. So I don't know how you would reteach that to a person that wouldn't necessarily, I mean, obviously when you bring this up, it's going to get defensive. It's working through that initial bump. Because if you go up to somebody and say, you don't talk to me like that. I mean, if you tell them like that, at first they're going to be like, oh, shit.
Yeah, no. I didn't realize that was a big, drastic, taken aback thing. Mm-hmm. But I've done it like twice in my life. And I'm like, I'm actually not going to let you talk to me that way. And people are like,
excuse me?
What do you mean? Exactly. This is how I talk. And it's exactly. Like, but not to me.
And then right, it's 50-50 though. So yeah. Either they start yelling or they apologize.
Yeah.
And it's.
And for me, it's just more like what was humanly right, mm-hmm. you know? And then you also say, I think about it as like, okay, well, if that person says something, then that person who was talked to that way is going to go tell someone else. You know, because you know how you're always told if you're being bullied or if someone's messing with you, go tell the teacher. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, you go tell that teacher, A, might do something, might not. And mm-hmm. it's a good 80% of might not. Mm-hmm. Then that person is just going to continue getting whatever bullying wise from that person. And then it's just like, you never spoke up for yourself. So it's just, for me, it's just like, what exactly is humanly right?
That was a good metaphor for systematic oppression.
Thank you.
That was good.
Thank you.
So I think, like, when we go into kind of, I think as kids, we're taught to speak up. And we're taught that we can say something, but something may not come out of it. Mm-hmm. But at least you said something. And I think we forget that a lot of times. Because I agree. We want to sit here and say, I want equality, I want this, I want that. Well, what kind of work are we going to put into it to get there? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm very much a person like, yes, this all sounds great. I would love it to be like this. How do we get there? Tell me what I need to do to get there.
You
do
need 100% the same mm-hmm. mindset.
No, I don't think that. I think it's because people get so used in the way things are done because people don't want confrontation. Humans mm-hmm. don't want confrontation. So if they can avoid it, they avoid it. And I think that's what got us here today, is because for so long we were hushed. For so long we're like, know what? No, let's not make any more trouble. Thinking that, you know, in some way that, okay, then my life would go on easy. But we've come to terms that that doesn't happen.
You know what was popping in my head the entire time you were saying that? Hmm. The song in High School Musical, Stick to the Status Quo. The big cafeteria scene. One? I don't know why. I'm a 90s baby. But that's legit. That's 100% what it is. And even if you as an individual want to break out of your category, there will be people in your category that go, oh, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. That's not us. Calm down. Right, you know what I mean? And I think this kind of plays into the whole self-acceptance thing. Like, you got to accept the fact that even within your category, you might not fit perfectly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I know, like, I struggle personally with, so I like country music. We've had a debacle on this podcast mm-hmm. about my love of country music.
It's a thing in America right now. Everybody loves that country music. Nashville's blown up.
It's good, okay? You get a little southern twang in there and it's okay, nice.
Keep going. Okay.
Anyway. Nonetheless, but I've always liked, you know, typical quote unquote white things.
Oh.
And so I remember being a kid who would listen to my country music in one neighborhood. Then when I go to another neighborhood, I change the channel, start listening to a different music because I didn't want nobody to realize that I was the, you know, white girl. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's what people, I was teased about that, mm-hmm. you know? And so I went through this weird thing, like at the end of high school, I'd say probably my junior, senior year, where I was like, I'm gonna be blackity black, black, make black, black, black. Okay. I'm gonna be the blackest chick that you've ever seen. And like, I tried to do things that like hypened up my blackness mm-hmm. as much as humanly possible. But it was like, I would go to the city, like, visit cousins or friends, and it's still like, why you talk like that? Mm. Ugh, you like that song? Mm-hmm. You ain't even got a pair of Jordans. Like little things, and it's like, okay, so I'm not black, apparently. I didn't, you know, check the skin color, but I am not black. But I'm also definitely not white. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of that, and I still have some uncomfortability with it, but what I've learned is, like, I'm never going to fit comfortably in anybody's box. Mm-hmm. It won't happen. I'm going to listen to my country music. Be mad, boo. Yeah,
I think it's so
fun. And I'm going to blast it like I blast Megan. Like, I don't care.
I can definitely relate to that. I was called an Oreo for quite a long time. But I think we're talking about taking away, like Renisha said, taking away the stereotypes or taking away the boxes or the categories. But it's really changing what that stereotype or that box means to you. You, okay, yeah, I'm a black woman. That's my box. Okay, but what does that mean to you? Okay, mm-hmm. I'm a black woman that likes country music.
Yeah.
Okay, I am a black woman that's really into astrology. People could think that's like a white thing, but that's your box. Make your own box. And that's part of self-acceptance.
Yeah.
And if we really want to nitpick, I mean, honestly, black people made country music, so I mean, you know,
exactly
back in that time.
We won't go into the movie
we won't
things.
Go into that, but I think we hit on everything societal wise, and that's awesome. And I think we literally can keep on going on all the things Amen. That we just from everything. But I do want to switch over to in our personal lives, like more on a local level. What do you guys think were some of the strengths that you, or some of the characteristics of yourself that you had to work on to get to a point to where you said to yourself, are you even there yet, or are you currently working on it?
I'm working on being vulnerable.
I'm also going to say emotional maturity. Yeah.
I am a person who suppress, don't feel. I am that person. Like, even back to the beginning where you take the punch, you keep moving. Like, I don't have time to sort out my emotions. I'm moving. You know what I mean? And so I've been working with my therapist, and just like individually, even before I got a therapist, it was like, I don't want to hold so much low-key anger and hurt and disappointment. I felt like I was carrying a lot of that. And, you know, it just sat there. I didn't really, you know, move it around. I tried not to let it lash out at people and things like that. But I knew it was just something that I carried. A lot of, like, you know, just disappointment and resentment, honestly. And I'm not 100% there. I am not. But that's something I'm working through, is how to be vulnerable enough with myself to know that I can handle those emotions and I can sort through it, and I can, you know, cry and still be a whole person. Or, you know, because like I'm a screamer, and I actually had this feeling a few days ago. I was like, everything in my body wants to scream, and not just like a little, no, I want to scream bloody fucking murder for a good hour, because I just felt weighed down, and I did.
Good. I was going to say,
I don't know who I scared the shit out of in Dunbar Cave. I'm sure it's somebody. But I did. I just let out a scream. And it was nice, and I felt lighter. And it's like recognizing the things that I need and then doing those things and not being like, that's stupid, that's silly, you're fine.
I'm fine.
Right, push it down. Like, no, I want to fucking scream today, because today was too much. You know, work was a little extra, but I'm also in a very emotionally raw space right now. And everything just, it was accumulation of being too the F much. And I just needed that moment. And I acted on it in a way that I normally wouldn't. I normally would have went home and been like, shut up. Like, you're fine. Maybe like had a few tears in the pillow. But that's all I would have allotted myself. And, it, you know, just listening to what my body and my emotions are telling me to do and trusting myself.
Right.
And that's hard for me to do sometimes, because I don't want to be no bitch. Like,
but I'm with you.
I got to.
I'm with you on that. Because my family, I mean, they didn't role model or show me good coping mechanisms for emotions. So yeah, I'm definitely a bottler to the point where then it's like, you waited like 3 years and then you say something and it comes out all crazy.
Because now I'm just lashing out.
Yeah. But it's also like a lack of boundaries. So just saying things right in the moment, like trying my hardest to do that, comes with time and age and maturity. But it's something that I definitely see that it's an issue and working on every day. What about you, Renisha?
For my self-acceptance, I accepted that I don't have to be perfect at everything. For me personally, did a lot of, like, I wouldn't say sport, but I consider it a sport. Whenever I do something sports-wise, I feel like I have to be perfect at it. But if I don't, and I feel like the team kind of looks at me with the look of, oh my gosh, she's terrible, or oh my gosh, she missed the ball or whatever. I feel some type of way where I'm like, okay, well, I don't want to do this anymore. So I've accepted that practice
makes
semi-perfect. I wouldn't say you're completely perfect, but it makes me confident in what I want to do. Mm-hmm. Continue in the sport. I've also accepted not a lot of things in life. I'm still not accepting emotions, and I'm still not accepting vulnerability. Mm-hmm. Mostly because it's scary, and I don't want to do that. So I'm not there yet. Another thing I guess that wasn't me accepting that, so non-acceptance.
You're working. Well, I mean, I said
we're something working I'm on. Working on.
Right.
Another thing I accepted is my body. Mm. I love being naked.
You really do.
I do. Love it. I do like.
Shout out.
I accepted that there are things called cellulites. Okay. I accepted that my ass is always going to have dimples on it. So if you want to come check that out.
You've been working on it. That shit look nice.
I do.
It does look nice. As someone who has seen it.
Shout out to Train 360.
Right. Thank you.
It's definitely lifted over the last year.
And you know what? I wouldn't say love, because there are some days where I'm like, working out. But I do like working out. Almost said love.
Like.
If I don't work out, I do like going hiking, mm-hmm. or I do like doing things that are going to make me not breathe heavily when I walk up only 12 steps.
Gotcha.
You know? Just like I did walking up these stairs. But I have accepted that I'm not going to be like the girls on TV, mm-hmm. like on Love Island or Too Hot to Handle. First of all, that's unrealistic, to be honest. They have no titties.
They got nothing.
No titties, no ass.
I don't want to be like that.
And as much as I don't like my girls, if we want to put it PG.
Damn boobies.
I know that if I ever did get like a reduction, it would never be a flat chested. Unless I have breast cancer. Let's whatever. Karma cat that. But
I'm
I mean,
sorry, what did you say? Karma what?
Karma cat.
Oh, okay.
I know that I'll still have like really cute boobies. I can get them done. You know? Mm-hmm. I can get whatever done. But I do like my body. So I've accepted my body. Because, not going to lie, growing up in high school and middle school, I used to try to, like you said, fit in high school. Really, it started in middle school. Only because my dad at the time cut off all my hair. And I didn't accept my hair at the time. So that's a whole nother I've accepted. I didn't accept myself the way I look. He, like, shaved it kind of off. And then that's when my parents got separated. And then I moved to Tennessee, and then of course I'm wearing plaid, so I look like this huge lesbian. Sorry.
Same,
but I did, you know, like a lumberjack. Mm-hmm. Let's say that. A lumberjack. I was about to go out and cut some trees down, what I did. And mind you, I'm a girl who had H size boobs, so it looked mm-hmm. really weird. I also didn't know what fashion was, so I going back to pictures, I'm like, man, what was I thinking?
Oh, it's fine. I've learned. I'm there currently living it. Okay. I do not have fashion. I think I really realized that. Like, look, which is why I'm in the process of getting rid of 98% of my closet. Mm-hmm.
Have what's in my closet.
I think that the reason why I never got into fashion is because I've never really accepted my body. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I feel like I would mentally, and I'm currently trying. This is a new adventure. I'm trying to stop myself for shopping for the body that I want instead mm-hmm. of shopping for the body that I get. Mm. And like, how do I dress this body and not the, I wouldn't even say Fashion Nova body size, because I don't even care about that. I just want a little bit of a tiny waist and just like an inch of hips,
honestly. What helps me dress
and
myself,
smaller boobs.
What helps me dress myself is just, I go on Pinterest for things, and mm-hmm. I just put in plus size fashion, and yeah. they have a very nice variety of like different size women, and I get to see how they dress a simple top that I wouldn't have thought of, smart. Or a simple pair of jeans, and they put like this really flowy dress, and I'm like, not dress, excuse me, but like a high-low top, and mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I didn't know you could do that with jeans.
Yeah.
Oh, jeans look good with heels? Oh. Jeans look good with some really cute sneakers, maybe.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. I think looking up what you look like, not what you want to look like you said, but what you actually look like. Like, actually, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I have about 8 mirrors in my house.
Yeah, you always in there.
So every room I'm in, I'm looking at myself. You know,
that shows you. And I have 2, one in my bedroom and one in my bathroom.
I feel like a lot of people should get a lot more. I feel like people should get more mirrors in their house because I mean, get high, like the body size,
full length. Get used to seeing yourself.
Get used to seeing yourself naked. Like if you haven't walked around your house, at least in your underwear.
Yeah.
Then you haven't lived.
And I honestly think
you haven't.
I mean, yeah, you're right. But I honestly think like, and I'm a pushback on you guys. I don't like saying I'm gonna shop for the body that I have versus the body I want. I think that's also a societal thing, saying that big girls can only wear X, Y, Z. And I think, you know, Lizzo is a really good role model to look up to because she'll wear whatever the fuck she wants, right? And she makes it work. And I think it's that confidence to make it work. Because at the end of the day, you could be wearing a paper bag, but if you got the confidence, and people don't even fucking notice a paper bag, they notice your presence. And I think as big girls, we get taught to hide our bodies. We get taught to hide behind things. We get taught to hide behind layers and everything else. Like growing up, it was layer, 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 because I didn't want you to see anything.
Baby, I am layer queen.
Right. Mm. And I think
stay layered up and stay hot as hell.
And I could never do that.
Stay hot as hell.
Right. And I think that's kind of like, I guess what we're seeing more is like, and I hate seeing the, okay, I have a love-hate with this body acceptance
movement. Me too.
Because it's always like the skinniest girls with like the tiniest fupa. Like, love my body. Like, yes, absolutely, love your body. But also like, that doesn't help with the big girls at all. Because men are still like, and they're still attacking. Fuck, they attack Lizzo all the fucking time about it.
And all she do is live her life.
And all she's doing is living her life and being her. And so, I mean, we're always going to have haters. I get it. Cool. But, like, until as a beauty standard we say it's okay to wear whatever the fuck you want, that shouldn't matter, then, no, we don't have body positivity. And, no, I don't think I will ever have a point in my life where I'm okay with the way I look. And a lot of that is internalized.
Mm-hmm.
But then also, if I'm seeing it around me that no matter what I do, I'm always going to get judged, I guess I just have to make that. You just have to make that call and be like, no, you know what? I'm going to wear this fucking paper bag and be confident. Fuck y'all.
Honestly, yeah. I mean, that's where you said you're going to be judged no matter what you wear. What you put on your head, what kind of eyeshadow you put on today.
Mm-hmm.
If I want to wear black lipstick, she must be gothic. She must be emo. She must like all that screaming metal shit. I don't. I mean, but I just like, what a
black lipstick.
And which I love black lipstick. It is. I want to wear combat boots with maybe a dress sometimes, you know?
That's cute.
So I think about it as, what do I look good in? What's my mood today?
Mm-hmm.
My mood is a lot of time. I want to be in an oversized t-shirt and sweatpants. My mood when I go out with my sisters is, we're not trying to outdo each other, but we know we're about to take some pictures.
Yeah.
And we know about to be Instagram baddies.
Every time your family. Every time I see it, I said, damn, y'all really pulled it together.
Look, anytime Renisha's like, me and my sisters are hanging out, y'all want to come? I'm like, give me an hour because I need to do a full face. I need to make sure my outfit's on 10. Like, I will say, and this is, once again, a family thing, because we mirror what we see as children 9 mm-hmm. times out of 10, right? So, like, what we see our parents do, we tend to do until mm-hmm. we get to a certain point where we're breaking out of it. And so I know me, I was raised with a very heavy, respectable politic.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can't dye your hair red because that's ghetto.
Mm-hmm.
You can't wear this outfit because your boobs are out and what are going to people thinking mm-hmm. of you. You know, you look too available. Mm-hmm. Pull that skirt down a little much. Ooh, those pants are too tight. I was very much so
church vibes.
Yes, 100% church vibes. Mm-hmm. And my body was very policed
mm-hmm.
in that way of like, you know, I might buy a shirt and it'll be a scoop neck and like an inch of cleavage, which I've always been heavy chested.
Mm-hmm.
An inch of cleavage, so it's like, you need a tank top.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the layering started. It was, you need a tank top to cover yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I'm grown and I still in the back of my head go, that's a little too much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are people going to think of that? And I'm slowly, like, Renisha was there when I dyed my hair red. It was a big thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
Huge. Because mm-hmm. even then, my mom was like, don't go too red. Like,
which is so
as
funny.
An adult, I was grown.
Which is so funny because my family's the total opposite, especially on my family. They are such free birds in another life. Like, they're probably hippies. Mm. I have an artist. I have singers. I have radio. They love. My grandma would have taken a picture of you, and you could be asleep. My family are picture takers. They love dressing up. You know, if you know my grandma, she'll throw on some red lipstick. You know, get them eyebrows done. If company's coming over and she's on the couch with just looking, you know, like a normal person would, she'll get up so quickly, throw on that wig cap on, and be like, "Hi, oh my God, it's good." I'm like, "Grandma, you didn't have to do that. It's just so and so." My family has taught me that. Pictures say 1,000 words. Mm-hmm. I mean, and mom just sent us some photos of me and my sisters about 10 years ago. And both my sisters and I were like, what were we thinking? Mm-hmm. But at the moment, it's like, wow, that's a memory. We can look back on. Yeah. So I appreciate my family for that. I mean.
I know.
Child, my family, we did staged pictures. So like go to Sears. Everybody get their picture done.
Oh my God, that's so cute.
We were those people. You know, things like smiles, yeah. All of us in matching outfits, whether we're all in red.
It's like my God. Stepbrothers cover.
Yikes.
Now, I'm talking like vacations. We're also like this. There is a mini of vacation where me, my sister, the brothers, we're all in the same outfit, or at very least, we color coordinated, baby. Mm-hmm. But that's like as far as that went. You know, where you have artists and things, tech. A lot of my family is in tech or social work, things of that nature. So artistry and look at the beauty of like that ain't their thing. They're practical people who are going to have practical, sensible things.
See, and that's where me and my mom collide, because my mom's an artist and she's from LA. And growing up, she was like, "Why are you wearing leggings outside? You can't do that. No, you don't do that. You wear an outfit outside. Like, you gotta look cute as soon as you leave this house." And then me, she used to dress me up all the time as a kid, and finally I broke that and I was like, "I'm gonna be comfortable." You know, I had a little break in the system there, but like my mom taught me, always fuck the government, fuck the system, fuck the man, right? So it's like, sorry, I just got told to stop saying fuck.
Perfect.
But yeah, so my mom has always had that radical view, in a sense, in the artist way. And it's funny because like there's parts in my life where it hit and it stuck. But then if you compare us, like, she's very much the pretty, dressed-up, girly type, and I'm always the practical, comfortable, weird dressing, I guess. Like, I don't fully match most of my clothes. She's like the Hispanic mom. I'll go out. This is the biggest pet peeve of her. I'm so sorry, Mom. I will go get dressed, and I always have to ask her opinion, right? And she'd be like, "Oh, yeah, you look fine." And then I'll be like, "Okay, cool." As soon as I go to open this door to leave the house, that's what you put those shoes with? Ooh. A keys in hand, 10 minutes to be there. What you mean, Mom? She's like, "Oh, no, it's fine. It's fine." I said, "I got to go change." And see, but she's very much like.
It is the polar opposite. Mm-hmm. My mom is all comfort, sensible. Why all this frilly, like for what? I remember growing up, you know, you start playing with makeup and putting on your little face occasionally. Yeah. Why do you need all that on? We're going to the store. My mother would do that to this day. I would be like, "Oh yeah, I'm gonna come, just let me get ready. We're going to dinner with the family. Why do you have to get dressed? Why do you have to look cute? Like, for what?"
For family, my man. I'm going out.
Well, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. If I take my time and be like, "Oh, just give me an extra 15 minutes because I'm doing my makeup," my mother views it as the waste of time. It is a waste of energy. For what?
Who are you trying to look cute?
Why? That is my mother's thing. Everything right. And that's what I now told her. I said, "You marry, boo. You can't catch her eye if you looking rough out here." But she don't get that because she is sensibility.
Nowadays, you get caught on camera and you're not even knowing you're on camera. Right. Okay, with all these TikTok videos, you know, they could be doing a dance. You happen to walk by and be like, not even paying attention to the dancer anymore. They're like, "Who that in the background in the comments?"
Exactly.
And then somebody know you and then they struggle. Tag you and you're like, "Wow."
Right, and there you are.
Don't, no, that hasn't happened to me, but that is a fear.
So I'm going to pause right here. We're at 1:05.
An hour and five?
Yeah, sorry.
Girl, I said we've been doing all this talking for one
and recording.
All right, so we're going to be wrapping it up soon.
Who's wrapping it up?
Do you just end up with, like, resources?
I can wrap it up.
Huh? Yeah. Resources?
Just so for people who are at the beginnings of the journey, what are some ideas, books, or things like that, or references? I did see...
Oh, how cute. MS for Melanin. Celebration
I love
of
that.
Black
Let me
child.
See that.
Yeah,
because
we really
fair.
Need
fair,
to finish.
Fair.
Go ahead.
Oh.
Yeah, I thought you were already doing it.
Okay, yeah, let's do this. Sorry.
What did you just say?
I'm about to do it. All right, guys. So what are some different ideas or references we can lead people to? Who might be kind of starting off in this process of, like, how do you get to self-acceptance? How do you kind of grow into yourself or at least take that first step?
Therapy. You can't fix yourself by yourself. I don't think you can.
I agree. But just in case, there are some really good books because, unfortunately, not everybody can afford therapy.
They have free programs now. Just check it out online. Google it.
Google
some. I feel like self-reflection.
Amen. Knowing.
I mean, for some, and this isn't for everybody. Mm-hmm. I feel like just knowing what some problems are, if you do know, or what people have told you, be like, okay, well, how can I work on that? And then work on something small, little by little. I mean, therapy is great, but also knowing her.
Well, doesn't that get into kind of like? Because nobody, not everybody's going to like you. People are always going to hate a characteristic about you.
Well, I'm not saying take, you know, oh, I don't like you because, you know, you're always pushy.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
But like,
more of like the perfectionist or you're okay. Always hard on yourself. Like,
learn to be easier with yourself.
Yeah, like I feel like writing, like Jordan does, writing and
journaling. Yeah.
It's also therapeutic. That's what they say. Sometimes catch my, I don't write on a journal, but I like randomly go on my notes in my phone and be like, today I did this. It kind of made me feel like this, you know, today's date, stamp it. And I'll be like, okay. And then sometimes I'll go back to it. It'll be like maybe months or a year. And I'm like, wow, I was feeling like that.
Yeah.
And it also shows you that it's all really temporary. Like really feels like everything is like falling apart in that moment, but when you look back on it, it's like, oh well, that's what I learned, that was a cool moment, and you move on. Journaling definitely helps. Also, there's a YouTube channel called Thoughts Catalog. Super cool people, really chill vibe, and they're just I think she is a therapist, I'm not really sure, but it's helped me through some stuff, like little girly breakups or whatever. She's like a cute thing to go to. Also, follow our Instagram. It's pretty dope.
Yeah. I feel like self-help books, I know we always say they're cheesy or whatever, but I feel like they do help somewhat.
For sure.
At least begin opening.
Saying what you're thinking.
Yeah. Like, and they can give you actual steps to get there or give you ideas.
Like life coaches.
So two books that I would recommend, and I don't know, I wouldn't consider them self-help books. They're kind of about society, and I guess this is more geared toward melanated people, but specifically Black women, even though I think that these books can help everyone. It's called Ain't I a Woman by Bell Hooks. That was one of them. And then Hood Feminism. I cannot remember the woman's name who wrote it.
We'll put it in the Facebooks.
Yeah. But those two books, I think, are really, really good at just kind of dissecting the things that go on around you. And it helps kind of, at least it did for me, kind of pinpoint, okay, this is where society-wise I fit in. And Hood Feminism is basically about how to create your feminism while being a minority, right? Because like feminism has kind of traditionally been for Caucasian women. It's kind of got its whole new, you know, third or fourth wave going now where it's intersectionality. But Hood Feminism kind of dissects how that race and being a woman intersect and how to maneuver in that space. So I think those two books are really, really good. In general, Bell Hooks is just an amazing author. Like, read all her shit. It's great. So that's my two cents.
Well, thank you, everybody, for listening to our podcast today. I hope we, you know, gave you some food for thought. Maybe this will help you in your journey or, you know, maybe to start a journey.
It's okay to start journeys.
It's okay. It's okay. Well, if you don't yet, please follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter at Melanin Speaking Podcast. If you have any ideas, comments, feelings, questions, you need help, you anything really, you can go ahead and shoot us an email at melaninspeaking4@gmail.com.
Pew, pew, pew.
Thanks, guys.
Ending with a dad joke. What do you call a fake noodle?
A fake noodle?
Mm-hmm.
I know this. I know this. Oh, no.
An imposter.
That's what I was. My head was like, imposter noodle?
And we're out.